It is 2 p.m. on January 30th, 2013. We are continuing the combined formal hearing for OPA PA 12-16, 17, and 18.
We're going to begin with closing arguments on appeal number 18. Before doing so, it was indicated that the parties may have completed their presentations regarding appeal 16. Can the parties verify with respect to appeal 16, does PDS have any evidence or witnesses it intends to call in that proceeding?
It would as I understand it, GTA is going to call two witnesses, and it would depend on what they say. So, but otherwise not.
GTA, are you planning on calling any witnesses in appeal number 16?
No.
In that case, would PDS be calling anybody?
No.
Government?
No.
So should we do go to closings for 18, then go to closings for 16?
Can we have just a brief gap between only because I've pulled my papers for closing for 18, but I haven't pulled the papers for 16. It won't take very long.
No.
They're in different.
Good time to break.
Yeah. Okay. Should we proceed with
18.
Let's see, 18, the appellant was
GTA.
Would you like to begin?
Sure. In regards to OPA PA 12-18, GTA does not dispute the issue of price. It's clear that GTA was the lowest bidder for the 1 gig network, and PDS was the lowest bidder for the 10 gig network. What was telling from yesterday's testimony is that everyone agreed that two vendors can in fact perform the service. Whether they wanted to or not was a different story. Mr. Cruz testified yesterday that currently no more than five agencies will likely need at least the 10 gig type network at this time, and that the remaining 40 or so would only need no more than 1 gigabyte at this time. Based on GSA's arguments that only one contract should be awarded to bid form 11, the 40 or so GovGuam agencies that only require a 1 gigabyte service, or gigabit, sorry, would have to pay a higher price for their 1 gig service, basically because PDS had a lower bid for the 10 gig service. The result of that application is that five agencies hold hostage the other 40 or so agencies. The issue is that the specifications were ambiguous, that GTA, GSA, and PDS could have derived different types of networks with the varying interconnectivity designs that have varying costs. The exhibits are before you as explaining the different types of scenarios that could have arrived by requiring just the ring topology type network. GSA's response is that GTA had the burden or the duty to continue asking questions. PDS also pointedly pointed out that GTA did ask a number of questions, but that none of them were related to whether GSA's intention was to have one network or two. Even seasoned technology officer David Chase, with more than 30 years of service or of experience in designing complex networks, found that the specifications can be read in one way or more ways than is illustrated, again, in these exhibits that are Exhibit J. It appears from yesterday's line of questioning that GSA attempted to impose this duty or burden on GTA to raise questions to ensure that GTA understood the bid requirements. Yesterday, even the OPA alluded to the fact that there were over 30 amendments and more than 26 pages of follow-up supplemental questions that should have raised red flags. The only conclusion is that the magnitude of the questions and inquiry is a clear indication that the specifications may not have been clearly spelled out, or in other words, ambiguous. The truth is, the procurement law does not impose any duty on any bidder. In fact, the duty rests on the procuring agency to conduct the procurement as set forth in the Guam Procurement Statute, citing 5 GCA 2111. This includes preparing bid specifications so that there is no ambiguity or potential ambiguity. The reason this duty rests on the procuring agency is because it's the procuring agency who is charged with the use of taxpayer dollars. That's taxpayer money, each of our money. The only duty according to the procurement law, and this is cited at 5 GCA 5003, on the bidders involved is to negotiate, perform, and administer the contracts in good faith. Even more alarming is GSA's position that it was too troublesome to have more than two vendors for the GGWAN, but yet failed to provide evidence that having two vendors is not possible. The purpose of the statutes, charters, and ordinances requiring competitive bidding is to guard against favoritism, improvidence, extravagance, fraud, and corruption, and to secure the best work or supplies at the lowest price practicable. And they are enacted for the benefit of the property holders, the taxpayers, and not for the benefit of the bidders, and should be construed, or to the benefit of the government, and should be construed and administered as to accomplish such purpose fairly and reasonably with the sole reference to the public interest. The OPA cited this in her decision in the appeal of O&M Energy. That's OPA PA 08-04. The public auditor found in that case that it is not acceptable as the fundamental objective of the procurement process to provide operating departments with the goods and services, and the operative word here is need, not want, in the right quality, quantity, on a timely basis, as efficiently as possible, at the lowest overall cost. It was clear from the testimony yesterday that the OPA should find, as it did in the appeal of O&M, that the proposed award of the contract to PDS was not adequate under the procurement law and regulations in selecting the lowest possible responsible bidder submitting a responsive bid. Thus, GTA requests the OPA that as to bid form 11, the award be canceled or the bid revised so as to conform with some of the questions that were discussed at the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. The government?
Thank you very much. Maybe I'll start a little bit by addressing 35 amendments. 35 amendments. Sounds like a lot. Until you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eight volumes of record, not including the appeals, the motions, and so forth, that are also part of the record. So in the grand scheme of things, really, really, 35 amendments, let's think about that. This is the first time GovGuam has consolidated a telecommunication bid. How much time and effort did we take through this? Let's see, I think we've had 9 protests. Of the 9 protests, including the smaller ones, appeals to the OPA, I think 4. We hired a consultant from the University of Hawaii to help prepare these specs. 35 amendments after the thousands of hours that GovGuam has spent putting this thing together, I think is a drop in the bucket, really. So with regard to that, I just want to address it that way. But I think perhaps the bigger issue, and it really concerns me here, what I hear GTA saying is, Government of Guam, you should have chose to do it in 2 separate 1 gig and 10 gig networks. So you know what? To make it easier, it'd be like this to me. Hey, we want a computer. So one company says, we're going to give you a computer and it has a monitor. And GTA says, we're going to give you the computer box. This is the price. And this is the cost for the monitor. And then when we ask, let's see the breakdown and specifications, and the one company that had the total cost cheaper says, well, yeah, my computer box was cheaper, but GTA's monitor was cheaper. Should we then mix and match?
Who gets the choice there? Who makes the specification? Is it the vendors or is it the government of Guam? Here, the government of Guam has decided, hey, the best system for the government of Guam is the ring topography system. Topology, or you know what? The reason I'm standing up is because I want to explain some of the things that have been, wow, kind of almost foggish, right? What terms did we hear? The one we see in the front, I think Mr. Chase, the 30-year expert from GTA, said that's called a cloud system. That's what government currently has. Ed Cruz, the BIT expert, explained this one, the original blue color one, as the ring system as he understands it at the top level. Mr. Chase in this original one said, excuse me, the right-hand corner said, this is actually a truer ring system, and this is called a mesh system. All terms that really, honestly, I have a tough time understanding. But the one thing I can understand, and I can appreciate the experts putting it out, is what type of systems, did the government of Guam ask for? And maybe, you know, I know I used a water pump and some pipes yesterday as the example, but even that might be too complex, you know? The thing I know everybody knows about is buying cars, right? So whether you want a Toyota Corolla or Lexus, they both function the same ways. They will both get you the service. And I think the important thing I want to point out, and nobody disagrees, can it be done by two systems? Absolutely, right? So what did GovGlom ask for? And I think Mr. Chase is the one who said, well, it's all a cost factor, right? If you design it here, it's going to be more efficient, more fast. Whether you do it this way, through a single mesh system, or whether you do it this way, through two systems using an interface, either way, it's going to be more costly. And that this is, although maybe not the most efficient one, it is certainly cost-wise the cheapest one. This is what the government asked for. The ring topology system. And we understand that, yes, there are better systems, faster systems, more costly systems. The reason the government of Guam chose was because this is the one that meets its needs. And with regard to when you say how many, whether we need 1, 18, whatever the number is, I think the government of Guam would have to be committed to buying that minimal number. Because even if we were to buy the minimum number of 18, as listed there, it would still save millions of dollars over the years, as opposed to trying to cancel and start all over again. The point that I wanted to bring out is, excuse me as I sit back down. The thing I wanted to point out, I think, is very important. Whereas in the previous case, GTA was asking, hey, you know what? I made a mistake here. I made a mistake. Please forgive us and allow our bid to stand still or stand as is and consider it. That's not the case here. In this case, they are saying, we misread what? Remember I had David Chase read. This is from PDS's Exhibit E, Part F. Let me put my glasses here. When I asked him, tell me, what does the parts mean? And he testified, yes, Part E is the GGWAN. And remember I went back and said, on the IT&E clarification letter, what did we say? And we said, the contracts will be awarded in one part. In other words, one vendor will receive both. And like I said, we went before and said why it's easier, one neck to choke, etc. Remember everybody going through that. The second part that was maybe more concerning for me was the reason why GTA had made the assumption that it would be that dual ring system was because when they read the bid, they read that the bidder must provide the network management system to monitor all parts from the center. Excuse me, hang on for just a second. No, that's not it. GTA felt that the provision that said, give me a second here. It's the part about, remember where I had asked whether or not, where there wasn't a requirement that the systems be parallel. I'm sorry, I thought this was the exhibit in front of me. It's not. or if you could mix, if it's not required. Well, they met when their interpretation was that if it's not required, then that means you had to have two separate systems. And when I said, well, does that mean you could read it another way? You may intermix. You could do the single loop. And eventually they admitted yes. But the main reason I'm bringing this one out is because unlike 17, where they're saying it's their bid, now they're saying we've submitted a bid and GSA, we want you to change your specs. That's really what they're asking here. That's exactly what they're asking. They are saying, GSA, we think your specs were wrong. We think you should intermix a monitor and a computer box and put the system together as we think we read it. Their interpretation was wrong. Their interpretation was wrong. They may have been mistaken on the 17, and they may have made a mistake on their interpretation and reading of 18. But clearly, as a result of their mistake, whereas GSA may allow their mistaking on 17, clearly GSA cannot change the mistakes, excuse me, the bid specs because of GTA's mistake in reading the specs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. PDS.
This is a very simple case. GTA's evidence is basically that the 1 gigabyte and 10 gigabyte services on bid form 11 could have been bid separately. There's no dispute that they could possibly have been separately, but that is not what the government wanted. The government wanted, and was very clear about this, that there would be one vendor and one vendor only for each type of service or equipment provided. The government decided it did not want, for example, two internet providers or two cell phone providers, or in this case, two GG1 providers. So we need to look first at the big picture. It's in the discretion of the government to make this decision that it wants one provider per service type or equipment. That was the basic structure of this procurement. And GSA September 17, 2011 answer to bidders' questions, which is Exhibit F to GTA's exhibits, made this very clear on page 22. And it's part Roman 8A1. What A says pertains to all parts of this bid. With respect to bid parts A through J, is a bidder required to bid on all of the office locations, or B, can the bidder bid on only specific office locations? GovWOM response. Yes, this is a priceless IFB. There will only be one contract awarded for each part. The bidder must provide services to all locations. There will be only one contract awarded for each part. I mean, what part of that did GTA not understand? To the same effect as the next page, page 23. Does the government have preference for a single telecommunication provider? GovWOM response. No, the IFB contains multiple parts. A telecommunications provider may bid and win on one or all parts. Each part will be awarded separately. So the OPA should reject David Chase's testimony that this was the September 17th letter was ambiguous. It was not ambiguous. It was clear, and if GTA didn't like it, it had 14 days from September 17, 2011 to file a protest regarding the one vendor per type of service or equipment format in the procurement. Now, turning to the GG1 portion of the procurement specifically, Ed Cruz, the Chief Information Officer for the government, did explain why the government wanted only one vendor for both the 1 gigabyte and 10 gigabyte service. Again, this is in the government's discretion, and the government's decision in this regard is reasonable and should be respected. Now, GTA argues that, well, there may be more agencies using the 1 gigabyte service, and so if you make a calculation, which they didn't actually make, but if you make some sort of a calculation, it might show that there's going to be so many more 1 gigabyte users and 10 gigabyte users that it might have been a savings to the government to actually allow this particular procurement to be split. The answer to that, Mr. Ed Cruz said he anticipated perhaps 10 gigabyte users in the service, but he also emphasized this is a procurement for the future. Things change. And so the government needed to come up with a procurement formula in its bid form, and it did. The formula stated right here in the form, multiply by 18 and then multiply by 24. That's the formula, and they have to have a formula so people can submit a bid. So if GTA didn't like this formula, once again, it should have appealed. And didn't do so because this was always available, and certainly a bidder can protest, solicitation can protest things like this, but they did not do it. So, this idea of the savings on 10 gigabit users versus 1 gigabit users, it wasn't calculated by GTA, and I do know the savings for the 10 gigabyte users. We don't know how many there actually will be. I mean, times change, but it's an enormous savings. I will point that out. We don't have any calculations to really lend credibility to GTA's approach, which is a more basic problem that this is the way the government wanted to do it. It is reasonable for the government to want to do it this way. And that discretion on the part of the government should be affirmed, especially when there was no protest to this basic approach that the government was using of one vendor per service type. Now, before closing, I just want to note that one of the arguments that GTA made in the trial brief, there was no evidence produced during the hearing. GTA had argued that GSA should have asked PDS for confirmation of its 10 megabyte bid, but didn't. And the reason we didn't put on evidence in that regard in rebuttal is because there was no evidence in GTA's case. But had there been evidence, we would have pointed out that we would have pointed to exhibits 18.6 and 18.7 in PDS's 018 exhibit binder, where in fact GSA did ask for price confirmation on the GPDS CG1 bid, and PDS confirmed its price. So my point is, this in a trial brief, there was no evidence at the hearing, but I just want to point that out. And I don't know if it's still an argument that GTA is making. I suspect it's not, because it's very clear that that is not the statement in the trial brief, just was not accurate. So in conclusion, GTA lost the GG1 portion of the procurement because its total price for the 1 gigabyte and 10 gigabyte service combined was far higher than PDS's price. And for GTA to argue that the procurement could have been done differently, it is just not enough. And the appeal should be denied.
Thank you. Thank you again for the... please go ahead.
This is just a question mark to GSA, just more as a point of clarification. While this is one bid, 6411, it has 10 different bid forms.
That's correct.
And I guess we're here because three of them were protested. What happened to the others? Have they been awarded, or is everything in abeyance?
Yeah, and so we had talked about that because of... the Appeal 17 may have an impact. In other words, I think there were some areas where GTA may have prevailed, but because 17 is still unanswered, and if they are indeed disqualified completely as PDS has raised, then it wouldn't be proper for us to award.
I see. So the entire, all the other parts and...
it's either one of the two parties have prevailed. There is one...
It's gonna either be an all or nothing?
Well, with regard to each part, yes. You know what I mean? So each part has one prevailing party or vendor.
Let me rephrase my question then. Did any other vendor prevail other than PDS or GTA in any of the other parts?
There is one, I believe it's in long distance.
That might have prevailed.
But that was the one rare exception where they had an exact tie. And so both parties, including GTA, also got part of that one.
So
you couldn't award because if in that particular part, if we were to award the parties and GTA and PDS were to prevail on 17, in their argument, I understand Vince is saying it's strictly with regard to 10, but if they were to prevail, if PDS were to prevail, then that other vendor, I believe it's Docomo, they would get it 100%.
Does GSA have some place where who, for like bid form one, who might be the potential bidder for bid form two, who might be the potential winner, all pending awards? Do you have that someplace?
Yeah, it's in the.
It's in the record. It's in the record. Analysis. You want them to point. It's in the bid analysis. That should be in, I think.
In the bid analysis.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
Okay, maybe afterwards, maybe during the break, we'll I just want,
it's
so
in tab,
it is in there.
Tab 10.
Yeah, okay, so maybe during the break when we, okay. But what I hear you saying is that because of all of this, nothing has been awarded.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you again for your briefs and for your presentations. At this time, we'll recess, and then when we resume, we'll do the, how long do you want to recess?
How long do they need?
How long do the parties need?
Maybe 15 minutes, just to, it's more just clean up, really, I guess.
Okay, so we'll come back at 2:45 for closing arguments in appeal number 16.
We are off the record at 2:25 p.m.